Try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait. Will this send me spiraling out of my routine?
Time to consult the online experts. One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again?
Fruit ruins
Never
insulin
eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com. That's Signos.com with code SPARK. Signos.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What's up, friendos, and welcome in. This is In This League. I'm the Welsh. That is Bogman. Where today, we're going to be highlighting a few players. We're going to be doing some player debates. Dare we possibly go down the rabbit hole of getting back into the voicemails? Yeah, we're going to do that. And I think we already got issues. We haven't even aired. We have not even aired these voicemails.
I haven't heard one. I don't know anything about any voicemails. So I am interested to hear what this is.
We haven't aired one for this show this season. Already have issues. That is what is going to be going down.
Was it someone doing a voice?
I don't know. Okay. You know what? There is a potential voice. There is a parody song. And there's one that required about 3 messages before or after it arrived. I'm telling you, we'll get there. When we get there, I'm telling you, there's already issues with the voicemails. We haven't even done it, but we are going to do some player debates. I've got some debates out on the Twitterverse at Is It The Welsh on my Twitter handle where you guys have voted, and we are going to take a look at some of those. I think some good ones. We'll be doing those in response of some of the player breakdowns and just some of the hotness that's going on. And, you know, usually player debates, especially early on, are temperature checks. You know, when you're early on in the season, you're doing temperature checks to see, you know, what are people's mindsets? What's recency bias fully doing? Because it is at an all-time peak, and we'll talk about that. Friends, if you guys want, you can find us over at inthisleague.com. That is our Patreon. We would love to have you where we have got all new ranks that are going to be imposted, at least from the prospect perspective. And dare I say, I almost don't want to commit to it, but I have been working on my in-season redraft ranks, and I might drop one in May. I just might do it because I just got it into me, started working on it. Kind of want to keep up on the in-season because it just helps you stay ahead for when you do your off-season stuff. So there's a possibility that I'm going to have regular updates for my in-season ranks are going to be available on our Patreon. So you've got Prospect, you've got Dynasty, you've got the P180Ps, which will be restarting up, and potential redraft rank updates monthly. Plus, we've got the GroupMe rooms with our incredible community, which you guys can hang out with. And really, opportunities are always there. You get access to us, and you guys are just like directly supporting. You know, I will be 39 years old in less than 10 days.
I know.
That's not a bad birthday present if you guys want to come and sign up on the Patreon.
Matching me. You're going to be the same age as I am. So congratulations, buddy. You got to make it 10 more days, though. So
After how today is gone, I'm not so certain that I'm going to make it many more days. But we might make it to 39. And, you know, we'll be next week. We can cover that rod when we get close
down
to
that rod. Don't want to go down that old rod.
Nah, a couple of days after 420. You know what I mean? That's not that even I'm the one. You're a little bit more of the 420 celebrator than I am.
Yeah. I mean, it's like any other day.
You're like, hey, it's Tuesday.
Hey, look, you know,
15
yeah.
Millies.
Hey, look, you know, You know me. I won't do them until we're done. We're recording this real late, so I'm waiting. So I'm, you know, it's almost all the way out of my system from the last couple of days. I don't know what to do with myself. So.
Yeah, you're going to go into withdrawal. Maybe it's going to hit a little bit harder. You're going to do it. It is late, actually. We're doing this on a late night Wednesday. A
fair warning to everyone if it gets goofy like the last two. I've been exhausted for the last two, and then this one is a late night one. So
this show has all the makings of all the things. I couldn't be in a worse mood. It is late. We're both tired. Bogman has nothing illegal in his system. I mean, this show could be a disaster.
Do you remember when on Family Guy when Quagmire and Peter started an improv troupe? You remember that?
Yeah,
actually. And Quagmire gets all serious and angry about it. He's like, I've been in this, I've been in that, I've been in this group. And Joe goes, I can already tell this is not going to be fun.
Yeah.
That is like when I turn the, as soon as I get in the room and I see your face, it's just, I'm like, oh, yeah. I can already tell it's not going to be great.
Yeah, so, I didn't take it out on you or the audience.
No, of course.
It's a horrific day from top to bottom. But hopefully some of the baseball front. I mean, you know what? I say like, hopefully the show's going to make it better, but I don't know. As we get down, we'll see. We'll see how the debates go. We'll see how the voicemails go.
Camilo Duvall got a save today. So today is a good day, right? That's what we're saying.
You are right about that. Also, I do need to focus on the positive things. Twitch.tv/InThisLeague. I am on a nice little MLB The Show streak that we played the other night where I've put some wins on
Bogman. That's separate from this. Why are we talking about it here? I'm not sure. That's a separate venture, Twitch. You know, so
one thing that did happen, and it's exactly how the collecting world gets you. It's exactly how it works, dude. I've never experienced outside of Madden this year. I've been out of video games to the point where I didn't experience the pack thing. You know, the opening packs of players and stuff in Diamond Dynasties. And I hadn't really started my Diamond Dynasty, and I was on with you, and I got my first pack. It was like the cheapest pack you can get. It's like literally buying like a $3 pack, and I got a Diamond Juan Soto in it. Like, they stopped the screen, and Juan Soto came out behind the screen. I was like, oh, crap. And Bogman's like, Jesus Christ, they gave me $10,000 worth of packs, and I didn't get a single thing. And I opened up one little like minuscule pack, and I got a Diamond Juan Soto in my first
one. I think it's because you bought it, because I didn't buy any. Like, I bought the game, whatever, the 4 days early, cost me $15 more than yours did, and they gave me like all these dumb packs. Yeah. So I opened up all the dumb ones. I don't get anything as good as a Diamond Juan Soto. And then you buy one, and it has a Diamond Juan Soto in it. So I think it's because you like purchase, you just with the points. You didn't like physically buy it.
No, I didn't have money. I just had points. It was my first pack. Opened it up. Boom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Chris Welsh
said you were coming.
What else did he say?
He said you were the best in the parsec.
Scott Bogman,
former Imperial sharpshooter.
That's not saying much.
I wasn't a stormtrooper, wiseass.
Please excuse his lack of decorum.
In this league.
This is the way. Stop touching things.
So, Boggs, I had a, real quick going into it, I had a tweet that I put out a little bit earlier, and Wednesday
I saw it. It was also an indicator that this might not be a fun show. So,
you know what? Great point. Fantastic point.
I saw the tweet, and then I text you. I'm like, I'm good to go. If you are, you're out here saying stuff.
Yeah.
So
I didn't tweet really today, and then my one tweet was April Fantasy Baseball Twitter is hands down the worst fantasy baseball Twitter of all of them. All the snark and reverse snark and reverse snark is at its most garbage. Sure hope someone hits four homers tomorrow and a guy is pulled from a perfect game after eight innings. Because today, or yesterday, as you're listening on Wednesday, we were treated with two massive performances. We had Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Vladdy Jr., who, yes, if I get one bet right in 2022, and that looks about all that I'm going to be able to get, it will be Vladdy's home run futures that I bet on, hit three damn homers.
I said, when we were talking about it, I said any bet that isn't Vlad for most homers is a sucker's
bet.
You
did say that. And I made the bet. And all I did was hedge myself with Ohtani. I just made those two bets and said, still going to pay off. Vladimir Guerrero, three homers, absolutely pimp stuff off of Gerrit Cole. And then, I mean, I have been relatively vocal about it, though I don't take to Twitter to do it. Clayton Kershaw.
Kershaw.
Perfect through seven innings and another waterhead moron manager pulls the guy with a no-hitter slash perfect game going. And of course, Kershaw goes out and is like, no, it's the right thing to do. No, it wasn't. I don't care if you say it was. It was not the right thing to do with six outs from a perfect game. I don't care.
So look, for the most part, I'm going to disagree with you on these.
I know.
Right? But I'm not on this one. This was a perfect game. Like, you know, someone tweeted this. I'm sorry, I can't remember who it was. I just saw it when I was scrolling through or whatever. And I saw someone said, look, you know, pull a guy from a no-hitter early in the season. No issues. There's been hundreds of no-hitters,
Darvish walked like four.
Yeah.
And he couldn't make it through and he was six no-hit. Okay, it pissed me off, but like I kind of get it.
Right. But in the history of baseball, there have been 23 perfect games. So if you have a perfect game,
perfect,
and you're at 80 pitches, like just make the marker 100. Just say like, hey, look, if you want to go out there again, do it. But I'm not giving you more. You have 20 more pitches to get these six outs. That's it. So, you know, go get them or don't. I'm pulling you after 100. Like, I think that's reasonable. But, you know, everyone's paranoid. These pitchers are making an absurd amount of money, and it's hard to lose them early in the season. So, I get why it was done from Dave Roberts' perspective, but also it's a perfect game, dude. The guy's cruising. Just let him go. Just let him go at least one more inning just to see if he still has it, you know? So I don't know. I'm with you on this one. Most of the time, if it's no hitters, I don't give a crap. There've been a million no hitters. I'd rather keep my guy healthy, you know, but perfect game. That's a tough ball, dude.
Yeah. And it's fine. You know, if it's like, he's like, oh, I didn't throw a whole lot. It's the right thing to do. And it's fine. Every Dodger fan on the planet loves the call. They're like, as much as I hate to say it, you got to say blah, blah, blah. And then I think it was Sammy who pointed out, I think he was on the side of pulling was right, being like, hey, listen, you know, you're just mad because you wanted the perfect game. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. I couldn't be more selfish. That I want to see a guy, I want to see a guy succeed, especially someone that I am personal close friends with at Whole Foods. I want to see a guy throw a perfect game. How many opportunities do you have for that? And if you give up one hit, get him out.
Yank him. Yeah.
That's what
you do. One walk also. Whatever. Doesn't matter. What is more, what's more rare? Watching and viewing a perfect game live or seeing the person who won the 50-50 raffle sitting in your section? Which one is more rare do you think?
50-50 raffle at this point. I'm 100% guaranteed 50-50 raffle is
right. Out of thousands of listeners that we get, you only had four emails about people winning that
two.
Or whatever.
No, two.
So.
Of everybody. And by the way, no one actually said I won it at a baseball game.
Yeah, someone I knew. Yeah. Someone I know.
And then another guy that I knew. Like, we're 7 days into the season, and a perfect game was almost thrown. So, I don't know. But coming back to it, man, it epitomized everything. God, Twitter is just so obnoxious this month. I think I forget, because one thing we experience, and I think you guys should be experiencing, whether it's on your own end, which don't worry if, you know, if you feel some of this way because it happens, or you see it in trades in your leagues and stuff, whether it's offers or trades with other people, I forget it's overreaction season. But with overreaction season also comes the snarkiest bit of everybody's soul that comes out in, oh, this guy is great and it's a small sample size. Well, that guy's not great because it's a small sample size. Hey, you know how everybody is crapping on this guy for a small sample size? What about this for a small sample? It's unbelievable. Like, you can't celebrate anything. Like, I saw, and I'm not picking on anybody here, but I literally saw consecutive tweets of our boy Bubba being like, yo, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. hits three homers. Shouldn't be afraid. You know, how about those people that were afraid to take him in the first round? Which I LOL'd because I agree with him. Almost instantaneously, I saw our boy Nate Grimm post, I'd like to see a Venn diagram of the people that talk about short sample sizes and are victory lapping on Vladimir Guerrero's three homers. And it's like, Jesus Christ, we can't have anything in fantasy baseball right now at all at any time. And it's one thing to post, you know, when we post, you know, information about players, like the Shane Bieber stuff could have felt whatever to people, but it's like now it's two straight games of velocity and da-da-da. But like the victory to reverse victory to the reverse reverse victory that's tied in snark about everything.
What is all this
happens?
Reverse victory you got going on? Are we out here playing Uno on Twitter? Is that what's happening?
It's
people
just
busting out them reverse cards.
It's all, I think it's a tough space for listeners and consumers of any type to be excited about anything, because where one person will be excited about something, there's 12 more people to be like, well, what about this? It's just a crazy, and it's all built around the small sample sizes. And I think, you know, maybe it's my mood as well, but it's like, you just had an almost perfect game and a three homer performance tonight. And all it was surrounded and shrouded was just snarkiness about baseball.
I don't care about any of the snarkiness on Twitter. I really don't. Like, be as snarky as you want. Be as snarky as you want. Be as mean as you, I don't care. None of it matters. You know, like, listen, you know, at the end of the day, Twitter's not really real. You know, it's just a bunch of people yapping. No, nothing is actually happening, you know. So I'm just glad baseball's back, dude. That's all I care about. Like, let's not forget, dude, three, four weeks ago, we were concerned we might not have baseball until May 1st, but it's here. Yeah. I've already made a trip out there to see you, to watch some baseball.
You saw three games. You saw 12 no-hit innings.
I did. The Diamondbacks are miserable. They're one of the worst teams in baseball. They choked away a lead and then ended up winning on a fluke thing today. Great, whatever, I'll take it. They're awful, and I'm still glad baseball is back. It means I get to watch highlights and Heidi Watney and Kelly Nash and Sierra Santos and
you're very specific here.
I'm just saying I like Quick Pitch is what I'm saying, Welsh. It's one of my favorite shows. So, you know, I'm just very happy that baseball's here. So if y'all want to be snarky, be snarky. Yeah. Great. Fine. Take a victory lap in April. Not even to tax day yet. It's not even April 15th. So take your victory lap if you want. If you feel like it, do it. I don't care. It's not going to change my opinion on things. Like,
what's funny about it is mentally how you consume this stuff is you consume it in a way where it's like when you guys listen to us, like, you probably know, like, you know us personally from all the podcasts we've done, you probably know relatively where we're going to be on ideas and stuff. And like, you come in knowing what you're getting in for, but it's funny when you go into a space like that where you are inundated with all of the takes in this circular motion that feed, you know, those like little diagrams that's like, this feeds this
community.
And this feeds that. And
dude, it's the meme from Community where Danny Glover walks in and the whole apartment's on fire.
Totally.
That's what Twitter is. Every time you open it up,
that's
everything's
April
on
fantasy
fire.
Fantasy baseball Twitter right now. To an absolute T.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
It's full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt balls.
We got some news and notes. So check this out. We're going to go through a few news and notes. We'll talk about injured players. Then we're going to jump in. We're going to do a few player breakdowns on some of the up and down guys, specifically most of the up guys and one down. And then we're going to jump into some player debates and then obviously voicemails at the end. But check this out. Bogman threw this out to me earlier in the week, and I was like, whoa, put this on the sheet because I don't want to forget this. ESPN. So you guys know, like, we've been picking on ESPN. One thing we didn't even talk about, by the way, a couple weeks ago, was that ESPN this season, you want to show how much care. If you didn't see read the writing on the wall from when we told you early on in the season that the draft room that you open up on ESPN was a points-based rank. Even no matter what format you open up, you didn't already know, like, whoa, they're mailing it in. We then found out that they canceled their show. Like, the, what is it, the 06-10, whatever you say it?
06-010, yeah.
Yeah, whatever the hell it is.
ESPN Fantasy Baseball Focus,
I mean, I
yeah.
will be honest, I just didn't ever listen to it. I know
I
people...
I listened to it. I listened to it
people
for,
like
for
you
a little
have listened
bit.
To it. Yeah. We've had countless times in our career of doing this, we've had people compare us to the Matthew Berry, Nate Ravitz, like, just personality. We've gotten that comp since day one. I never really listened to those, but it doesn't mean it wasn't a mainstay. By the way, also... theoretically, the biggest network in sports, they canceled their fantasy baseball podcast. They just ended it, showing how much they don't care from the product of the draft rooms and how they were treating it to the actual podcast, which, by the way, podcasts make money. Podcast with advertising, like from big networks realize it. You know, that's something that, you know, CBS learned a couple years ago, and a lot of places have started to learn over the last couple years. It's a full-on revenue generator. It's not just a fun little side project. I remember we had a friend who doesn't speak to us and we haven't spoken to in years and years over at NBC who was doing a podcast, and they had to like convince them to do this podcast. Like, let me do it. And they're like, okay. And then finally they figured it out, but it shows you how much they don't care about it. This is the real story. And I know I'm monopolizing the time here, Boggs, but you brought this to my attention, so you can take it. But ESPN, in season, so the season has started, ladies and gentlemen, in season, changed position eligibility for players while the season started. So I give it to you, Bogman.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the story. Like, I looked on, I think I was on Twitter, and someone said, did ESPN seriously just change position eligibility 3 days into the season? And I was like, no way, they couldn't have done
that. MLB The Show hasn't updated their rosters yet, and ESPN changed position eligibility when the season started.
Yeah, dude, so they flipped down from 20 games to qualify at a position to 10, which is significant, right? Especially if you drafted certain players to certain spots. You know, I think the biggest one is Franmil can go from util to the outfield, which would have changed a lot of drafting strategies and stuff. I guess the good thing, you know, the silver lining in this horrible screw up by ESPN is that at least everyone was done drafting. It's not like they did it, you know, 6 days before the season started and changed everything else. Everyone gets screwed this way. But
see,
it's just a really stupid way to do business, right? Like, and ESPN is not, you know, they're run by Disney. They're not a dumb company. I don't know what is happening with their fantasy baseball stuff over there, but it is crumbling. They might as well just not run it, honestly.
They're not. They're just like, we're not going to do a podcast.
No. I mean the game.
The platform. No, I know. I understand. Like, they're getting Yahoo-ish where it's like, oh man, that would take a lot of work from developers.
Right.
Like, oh, so you don't have a whole
crew. It seems like someone screwed this up and they couldn't reverse it, or they didn't know how or whatever.
So you found some Reddit threads here, which...
yeah.
Are like, it says ESPN has updated their support page on positional eligibility to say that games played during last season 10 down from 20. And then there's another thread. There's 2 points here. Someone in the Reddit thread points out, they go, and they got all the upvotes on it. They said, I 100% would have been drafting Schwarber higher if I knew he'd be eligible for first base. And a secondary one was in the, which one was this? This was the, did they change this overnight thread? Someone points out what you just said earlier. They said, damn, I'd have drafted Franmil in a few leagues if I knew he would get outfield eligibility immediately.
And so, also, it changes for stuff in season too. Because, I think it does. Who knows if they actually changed that.
No, that's what he's saying.
But from 20 to 10, also for, you know, so many players are going to get way more. It's exactly what Yahoo does.
But it immediately did this. Ahmed Rosario would be an example. Remember, he played 15 games in the outfield.
Right.
He was only a shortstop when you drafted him. And then the minute they pushed this through, he became outfield eligible. It wasn't like Bobby Witt, you know, whatever it is, like another game or two. Now he'll be eligible for third base outside of maybe, you know, waiting another week and a half. But there were players that when they pushed this, it was based off of last year's position, and they immediately got eligibility. How do you do that? How, like, it seriously is like nobody was paying attention to fantasy baseball at all. They didn't update the ranks. No one was posting ranks. They had they had one set of points on there. They canceled the podcast. There was nobody. And then one guy got clocked in overnight and was like, oh, we should probably check out the position eligibility. And they just changed it. It's wild. It's wild that I don't know how you people play on ESPN, especially when they don't care about the product. They clearly don't care about the product. And that's something that you just move on, by the way. Like, my outrage of it is just my astonishment. At the end of the day, I'm not an outrage guy. Like, I just get over it and just go, okay. Like, where there are people that would be like, I'm canceling this league. These losers would be like, accountability for the league, and I'm out, and blah, blah. These are the worst people to play with, and you should quit your fantasy league if you play with them. But in reality, it's so asinine. And if anything, the outrage is I would never play on ESPN.
It's just dumb. And if you make a mistake, find a way to fix it.
Fix it.
It can't be that hard.
Fix it.
You know, and so many people complaining about it. You know what? There actually aren't that many people complaining about it because I typed in ESPN fantasy baseball position eligibility on Twitter and not a lot of stuff came up. I did have to go to Reddit. To find these comments and stuff. So I guess more people are navigating away from ESPN than they ever have. But yeah, it's just like, you know, Fantrax had a blip during the COVID season where the scoring was down for a little bit. You could just say on ESPN, hey, look, we're trying to figure this out. All right. It got messed up. We're trying to figure it out. And that's our support.
They tried to slide it through too. They're just like, we'll just push the button.
Yeah, they're just acting like it never happened. They're just like, that's just how it is now. So
it's just frustrating.
I don't know. It's just very weird.
Especially when, like,
can you imagine if they did this in football? Like, if they did this in football and, like, you know, quarterbacks could qualify at running backs, you would have a riot. You'd have people storming ESPN like they did the Capitol.
How about legit? Boys can't just be boys. That's fine. You would legit. What if you drafted Debo Samuel as a wide receiver?
Seriously.
After the draft, they just pushed before week one or on Saturday as week one or after week one and just said, oh, yeah, now he's running back eligible. That would change the scope of everything if he was running back eligible. Like, that would change the scope of a lot of stuff. And non-football people don't know what we're talking about. Again, at the end of the day, it's actually not really an outrage thing. It's just an astonishment of what ESPN, how many just things they've dropped in this offseason to show they don't care. Like, Fantrax has its issues, but at least they give a crap. At least they definitely are accountable. They're like, crap, we'll update. Do they have more problems? Maybe, but they're easier
to deal
with.
Well, they wear it, they answer the questions on Twitter when people get upset. And tweet at Fantrax, they answer them. I mean, I feel like it's like three people on there answering them sometimes because they do get a little backlog. But there's people answering the questions. They hold themselves up, you know. ESPN just like, yep, that's how we do it, and you're going to take it. So,
I thought it was completely wild.
It's nuts.
Yeah, it's not the biggest deal in the world, but I thought like that was wild that they did that. But it also, I think mainstream people are playing. The people that are playing on ESPN probably aren't listening to podcasts.
They aren't listening to the ESPN podcast. We know that.
Yeah, they probably don't even know that it's not there. They're just like, oh, you like Tristan Cox. By the way, do we talk about this on the podcast?
No, that's what I thought you were bringing up.
Oh my God. Somebody brought up the Eric Carabel story, by the way, on Twitter, and they added Eric Carabel.
It's our guy, Braden. He's the Mike Zunino guy.
Laughed so hard when I saw that Eric Carabel was tagged, and I was like, oh my God, he's totally going to say something.
And he did.
And he totally said something.
So I crafted a response like three times to him. And
by the way,
just
the response, yes. I didn't mean to jump over you.
No, go ahead.
For people that don't know the story, Arizona Fall League, Scott Bogman with a group of people introduces himself to Eric Carabel, and he goes, okay. Cause he goes, hi, I'm Scott Bogman.
Right, right.
Okay.
So yeah. So, that's not exactly what happened. Yeah. I'm hanging out with Colette at the Fall League Championship game. I go up to grab a beer. I come back. I see him standing in a circle with a couple guys. Eric Carabel is one of them. I walk up and I say, hey, man, I'm Scott. And I went to shake his hand and he went, all right, thanks. And it was just, it was funny. There's two reasons why it's funny. It's like, number one, I don't really care that much. Like, I think he said that, you know, in the tweet, he said that Carabel big time. I don't think he really big time me. I think it was like this dude probably was at the stadium and all these baseball nerds are there and they're all introducing themselves to him. He's just like getting tired of, you know, meeting people that day.
Oh, it's
That's
so
fine.
Difficult. But,
okay, but hold on. Here's the funny thing. Oh. Is I called him Tristan Cockcroft for like 4 years because I didn't know his name because he didn't say it back to me. So because I get those two mixed up. So, because I didn't listen when they were on the show.
What did he say?
He just said,
"What
happened?"
Like, what?
Yeah, because Brayden said he big time. He said, "Hey, what happened?" And then I'm like typing out the story and I'm like, "What? This sounds so stupid typed out. Like, I'm either going to have to take a video of myself telling the story or I would have paid you
to do that.
I can't."
Want
to
try a free sample of Berry Pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your
Stop it. They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
I can't, you know, type it out like, "You shook my hand one time and didn't tell me your name and I was offended." Like, I just sound like a big loser crybaby.
Actually, yeah. I should tell the story. It's much better when I tell it.
Yeah, because you're mean with it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, fellas, here's how it works. $15 for
it. In this league.
What's this?
In this league.
If you have to ask, big man, you can't afford it.
That's $4.
All right, let's burn through some of the news, and then we're going to jump into the next segment where Bogman and I are going to take a look a little bit deeper on a few players and some debates. Darvish got his absolute dick stomped. And just one of the worst takes I could possibly have this year. I'm just
dude
such a
had
of-
no. Oh, yeah, okay, here we go. Overreactionary Twitter. I there is just no way he wasn't tipping pitches in this scenario. There's just no chance.
Well, I told you the other day when I was like, I'm like, he didn't look that great in the no hitter thing, and you were like, we had a no hitter. I'm like, did he walk four? His velocity was all right.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Dude, well, he didn't give up 9 runs. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure he was tipping his pitches, dude. Like, a guy doesn't go from being a great pitcher to, you know, Lucas Giolito's bad year where his ERA was over 6. He's just not that guy.
I wonder if you're not that guy, bud.
You're not that guy.
If he's going to, in his elder years here, if he's going to be one of those guys that's like just a second half player. Because didn't he do this last year or in 19 as well where it was like, so I'm going to look at his splits real quick, where it was like a not good first half and then like a really good second half. Because last year, let's see, in 2021, Darvish in the first half had, no, it was the opposite. Okay, so never mind. I'm just big, stupid, dumbass idiot. He had a 3 ERA and a 6 ERA in the second half. And then 2019, because I don't want to do that. Yeah, 2019, he had a 5 ERA in the first half, a 2.7 in the second
half. I think he's had pitch tipping issues in the past as well. So they had to have picked up something from his first start in Arizona and said, look, we're going to try this, and if it works, great. It does. I think the same thing with Barrios happened in his first start. I think he was tipping something, and he got smashed. So it happens from time to time with these guys. So, you know, I'm not worried about Darvish. If he goes out and gives up 7 in the first inning of his next start, all right, I'm going to start panicking a little bit.
So, I mean, would you say that then he is a buy opportunity right
now?
Dude,
if you can buy Darvish low after one bad start, then absolutely do it.
Who
100%.
Would you rather have, you Darvish or Tyler McGill?
I'd rather have you Darvish.
I would too. Okay, yeah. We agree. Even though Tyler looks pretty, pretty good. It was a bad
don't tell that to Twitter. You know, they'll get mad.
I would love to tweet that. That'd be fantastic. Jack Flaherty cleared to play catch from 90 feet. That's a good sign for anybody that invested in him, obviously late, that he would come back. So just keep that in your peripheral. Also, the trade rumor is very interesting. The Frankie Montas stuff really kind of hit ahead, I think, later last week, early this week, where him and the White Sox have been deeply, deeply connected. There was a pretty heavy rumor about him for Andrew Vaughn. There was also one circulating about Gavin Sheets and somebody else. But then the word came out it was Gavin Sheets and a pitcher, though. It wasn't Crochet. I'm just forgetting who it was. But the word came out that management, I don't know if it was, I assume it's not La Russa, because La Russa is more of like, I don't know. La Russa is just more of this like old guy walking around, like, you know, rabble, rabble. Like, I don't think he makes like decisions, mm-hmm. except on what the drink menu looks like. I just don't think there's anything. I don't think he's the one that's going out there. Yeah, you're covering your mouth. I'm trying to keep myself.
I'm trying not to say it. Will you move on, for Christ's sake? Jesus.
I'm just saying they went to Andrew Vaughn and said, we are not trading you. And they've made him untradeable in a Frankie Montas trade. So I don't know if anything's going to happen, but clearly he's going to be moved off of the A's. Like, it couldn't be any clearer.
Yeah.
And
they're tearing it down, which is a smart thing to do if you're a bad team. You know, you follow the examples of some of these bad teams before you and what they've done. The Astros tore all the way down, worked all the way back up, won a World Series. Had to cheat a little bit, but they got there, you know? And same thing with the Padres. The Padres tore it all the way down, were miserable for a while, and now they're pretty good. So this is just the formula. Montas will not be on this team probably by the end of the year, I would say. I'd give it like an 85%. He's not.
I actually felt like the White Sox A's trade made all the sense in the world. Like,
Sounded good. Yeah, Vaughn for Montas straight up seems like a decent trade.
I like White Sox fans want to do that, but I just think it's one of those trades. It's one of those rare trades. And maybe I said this on the last podcast, so I apologize. But it's one of those rare trades where it just benefits everybody.
Right.
You know, you've got injuries in the side of the bullpen. I suppose it might.
You get the pitcher for your run. They get the hitter that who's going to last longer, to build around. It makes sense.
It would take Kopech theoretically out, because when healthy, you have Giolito, Lynn. Who else? Who am I forgetting here?
The other three
Dallas
starting pitchers.
Yeah. I'm forgetting Dylan Cease. And then Kopech. Obviously, they're not healthy, but you're going to have in theory, you would have your healthy rotation back in late May. So what do you do? Is it at the expense of Kopech? I'd hope not. I'd hope it's at the expense of kicking Dallas Keuchel's ass off the team. But, you know, they might just not be inclined to do anything crazy, and they don't want to mortgage a future, even though they don't know what the hell to do. That same day, by the way, with the trade rumors, they didn't play Vaughn. And there was this thing that came out that the coaches had this really difficult decision if they wanted to play him up to 20 minutes before. It's like, dude, what's a decision? Like, get him out there every single day. He's got a hot bat right now. Let him play some positions. Figure it out. I don't know. It's crazy. It's stupid. And then talking of stupid, the most hilarious thing on the planet continues on. Unbelievable, moronic take by me early in the preseason to ever think that Trevor Bauer could even be a value, which why would I even talk like that? Like, such an idiot. Like, I hate Trevor Bauer. I hated him before. It was cool to hate him. And his leave is now extended to my birthday, by the way. Would that be hilarious? April 22nd. Wouldn't it be hilarious if he was activated on my birthday? Just a big old slap in the face.
Happy birthday to the Welsh.
He's
a pervert on a team.
I wish. Here's a bet that I could win on a book. If they would allow me to bet, will his extended leave be pushed longer out of April 22nd? The answer is yes, at any odds. I don't know if he'll ever play again. This is unbelievable. What are they doing? What do you have to figure out?
Well, they're doing their own investigation.
Oh, they didn't do that for the last 8 months?
Look, man, I don't know what is taking so long, but we've seen the NFL do this. It kind of started with the Ray Rice stuff, where they wouldn't just take the word of the police report or whatever. They would do their own investigation. And I'm sure that every league would say they did their own research, before that happened. But they didn't do it as in-depth as they do now. They're like their own moral police here. And look, they're going to take as long as they want. And I don't know. I honestly think they're just waiting for something else to happen. I don't know what it is that they're waiting on, but I feel like they're waiting for some other shoe to drop for Trevor Bauer so that they just don't have to play him anymore. They're waiting for him to say something. I mean, the guy talks, right? Yeah. The guy talks a lot. So as soon as he says one thing, you know, as soon as he goes out there like Cam Newton did and says something about women that people don't like, they can just be like, yeah, we're just done with this guy. So I don't know. I think I'm with you. I don't know if he's ever going to play again.
I just don't know. Like, it's unbelievable.
Who's going to take a chance on him? The Dodgers already said they'll never have him back. So who is taking a chance on Trevor Bauer right now? I don't know who it is.
I'm just happy I gave up on it pretty quick. I had that short ended period where it was like, you know, like this might, and it's like, nope, the team doesn't want him. They're still extending this leave. He is definitely being pushed out for right or wrong, whatever it is. It's just hilarious that this is happening. And it's like, why is this even news? Just stop extending it 10 days. This is crazy. Right. This is like, you know, this is like me saying, yeah, sure, maybe, you know, just do it. Just like go out and throw him out for 3 months and just say, nah, he's not gonna play this year because the Dodgers don't want him. A couple injury notes. Mentioned Giolito, 10-day IL. There goes my Cy Young bid. Teoscar had an oblique issue, getting an MRI on that. Thursday. Didn't look good today.
Yeah, I mean, and it was, you know, I'm sitting there reading what's going on, and it's like Vlad had his hand stepped on, and then Teoscar has this MRI. Eloy left. Like, it was a bad day today in terms of injuries, but obviously Vlad shook his off. But, yeah, Teoscar getting an MRI, and Eloy, I think he had x-rays on his knee because he left with knee soreness, and he's going to be okay. But, you know, it's bomb, always I hold your too. Breath season. So.
Yeah, I think he hit a bomb too. But, yeah, he left with some knee soreness. Jordan Alvarez has been out of the lineup, which you can tell. It's so telling how important he is to the lineup with how bad the Astros have played against the Diamondbacks, who are the worst team in baseball. He's had a little tummy bug or something for the last couple of days. He hasn't been in. Max Fried, shin left after taking. He got a little liner hit off of him, so we don't know the extent of that. Blake Snell also hit the IL. John Means left with forearm tightness. Not great.
Not great. You gonna should I victory lap a guy getting hurt? Remember I said I just... The reason I don't like John Means is because he had a good half a season and then got hurt and didn't play like the whole second half. And they said he was okay. I just didn't trust it. And here we go. Second start. And he's already, you know, forearm strain. I don't like this, man. I hope I'm wrong. I really do. Because I like watching John Means pitch. And I wish he'd be out there on a consistent basis. But Jesus, you know.
Keep an eye on Grayson Rodriguez just in case. Grayson Rodriguez, the top pitcher, I think, in all of baseball. This might be the opportunity with that injury. Brandon Crawford, wrist injury. Javi Baez was scratched Wednesday with a sore left thumb. Probably not too big of an issue. Corey Knebel was on COVID, but I think he was taken off of it on Wednesday. He was no longer on any of my league lists. Tommy Pham, hand injury. X-rays negative. So it wasn't a stab wound, though, Bog. So,
yeah.
I mean, either way, you'd be like, get back out there.
Being dramatic about whatever this was. Yeah. Was a hammy. So.
Yeah, Robert Grossman, Bogman.
Yeah, well, at least injury. He was terrible before hurting his groin, so that's making me look great. So, yeah. But I tell you what, for the radio show, I asked Bubba his shares, and Robbie Grossman was also one of his.
Whoops.
So it's me and Bubba, right? At BDentric. So don't just tweet me, people. Come on, let's go.
Yeah. Taijuan Walker, shoulder, he did hit the IL. Luis Patino, oblique, is going to hit the 60-day. I mean, you want to talk about
that? That was so fast, too, dude. It was like, yeah, he's hurt. They put him on the IL, and now he's on the 60.
I have shares like Patino, too. That one hurt. Yeah, me too. He is injury prone. AJ Pollock, LOL, on the hamstring. I did look, by the way. It was the bet, because our boy Donovan released the sheet to us, which is fantastic. He's the best. He tracks everything that we talk about on the show. And it was It was Pollock versus.
Doesn't matter. I win.
Who the hell? Now I got to go look at the sheet. Hold on. It was. Now I don't want to know who it was, but it was. It wasn't games played, though. That's the key.
Oh, was it at bats? I think I saw
here it is. It was AJ Pollock versus Tommy Pham. And it was
Tommy Pham also hurt.
5-5, I think we went. And then we also have one, if I'm reading this correctly, Andrew Benintendi versus Robbie Grossman 5-5.
Don't like that one as much. No. You know, not as great. But
and you know what that bet is? That is the Olive
Garden. That's Olive Garden bet, right? But then we say we're gonna add three more parts. We said we're gonna do five parts to
that.
We
probably should.
Right?
We probably actually should.
Yeah, all of our players are dead except for Andrew Benintendi. So
yeah, and I think we like have to play like 100 games for Pollock or Pham to even.
Oh yeah, I think we did give that stipulation.
So that bet might just be null and void at the end of the day. He's on the IL, and Alex Kirilloff. Actually, another guy kind of continued injuries. A wrist injury has been following him. He's had it since 2019 when he missed some of the season. He didn't go to the AFL. I talked to Royce Lewis about that, and this thing keeps going. And he even kind of acknowledged he's super frustrated that this thing keeps going on. And he said something very ominous that it was along the lines of like wanting to look towards the future and not be short-sighted to the now. That feels very surgery-esque to me. So just putting it out there that it feels very surgery-esque for Kirilloff when he said that. But he's on the IL, and hopefully we don't get horrific news or anything like that.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. When we come back, we will do a couple player breakdowns, some trends on some good players, take a look at some of the hot guys, and we've got some debates that we put out into the Twitterverse. We will take our sides, hey, we'll see where you guys are, and then voicemails. We'll see how that goes. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back right here on In the Sleep.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says...
In this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league.
Nobody is hotter than the Stephen Kwan, or as I put on the tweet, Bogman, Kwan Tada Meda. Stephen Kwan Tada Meda. Da da da. Stephen Kwan Tada Meda.
So
Stephen Kwan Tada Meda.
Can I just ask you, Stephen Kwan, is he Yermin Mercedes?
Ooh, and I, you know what? No, that's the quick, easy answer. But what you're saying to that context is...
Yeah, it's not in terms of the same player, just the same hype. Is he the April hype guy that is going to get way overvalued and then sink like a stone?
And that's what you're getting. By the way, you put links on here. He's the only one that doesn't work. The
Stephen Kwan?
Yeah, the Savant.
I put the right ones on
all the others spot, seem to work. But
yeah, well, thank you for telling me the one thing I messed up.
Oh, so, no, here it is. I see it on the other one. No, I wasn't doing that.
I was just moving it. I know. I'm just crap.
God. All right. So Stephen Kwan went, I think it was 115 at bats without a swing and whiff. And that ended with my guy, Nick Lodolo, who I wish I could victory lap, but you can't because he wasn't exceptionally good. But he did strike out Stephen Kwan. It wasn't a swing and miss, though. I think he did get a registered swing and miss on like
it was a foul ball. Yeah.
But then he did strike out. He got his first strikeout as well, a C&I version of it. But Stephen Kwan currently is in the top 1% of expected batting average right now. Top 1% of WOBA. Ex-WOBA, he has a zero. I don't think it's registering the strikeout he had today, and almost a 30% walk rate. He has been phenomenal. That, I mean, there's nothing short of it. He's been crazy. Here's another nutty thing as well. I'm looking at the pitches he's seen. He is hitting over 340 on every single pitch he has made contact with. Now, he's seen a couple splitters, but he didn't do anything with it. He didn't, you know, go at it. He's seen 4% of that, but 45% fastballs, he's hitting 480. Changeup, 17%. I mean, that's your strikeout pitch. He's hitting 585. 17.5% of his pitches he's seen have been changeups, and he's hitting over 500 on it.